You are listening to the Footy Mailbag Podcast with Damo and Clark.
Hello and welcome to the Footy Mailbag. My name is Damo and we are on the doorstep of Gather Round. Clarky, I'd normally introduce you by asking how you are, but, and I'll still ask you that obviously, but I've had some fun with artificial intelligence this week. I don't like people being out of jobs through AI, but I mean, it's fun to play around with. Anyway, so this is your introduction today.
Thanks, Damo. That's certainly something. I wasn't expecting this.
That's probably the best you've been introduced in on this entire podcast.
Well, it's nice that I wasn't forgotten.
Yeah, and I was bored on Good Friday before that game started, and before the North Carlton game started, and even during the game, I was still playing around with it because, let's be honest, the game was over by about halftime, and then. And I was just playing around with, you know, random things and seeing what I could find. And, you know, you'll hear more through this podcast. They won't stick around because for any permanent creative work, I'll usually seek out a human. But for this episode, I've had a bit of fun.
Bless you, Damo. Bless you. It's been a hell of a week Supercoach-wise, though.
Yeah, it has. And upgrade season is beginning early for a lot of people as well.
Must be nice.
Speak, mate, you've upgraded too.
Yeah, kind of. In that my team was bad and now it's good. It's good forever until the round happens.
Good in theory. I mean, like, some rookies are getting to the point where they're ready to go. Some rookies are just plain shit. And some premiums are shit that we need to move out of our teams now.
It's been a mixed bag, a mixed mailbag, if you will, because we saw the resurgence this week of one Hayden Young. We saw the resurgence of one Nick Martin, who both decided to play football this week, angering super coaches everywhere and smugging up the coaches that held. And to be honest, if you held nerve, you be really proud of yourself for that, because I think it's very easy to look at the data and you had to make a call, and it's always 50-50. So coaches that didn't hold, I'm sure you improved your team in another way, so don't feel too bad. But it's nice when you make a line call and it works out, isn't it, Damo?
Yeah, definitely. And I don't think people who trade... I didn't see one trade that took out Young or Martin not improving the team that was making those trades. So in the moment, we had to make a decision, and some of those decisions was to hold him, which the holders were rewarded with, and then some people were rewarded in other ways by...
And the traders were booed into the ground, and then, never to return.
And then the people who did trade Young or Martin were rewarded in other ways through the players that they brought in. So there wasn't a right or wrong answer in whether you held them or not, but if you held them, good. If you traded them, well, maybe we need to be a bit more patient, but it's not a disaster. And
never, Damo. Make me.
Some rookies are getting to the end of their life already. Caleb Windsor already has a BE, a break-even of 37, and he had a very, very slow start to that game against Port Adelaide before that goal towards the end of the game. Really boosted his score. He really got into it in the second half, but he's one that a lot of people are thinking about dropping this week, or probably thinking about dropping over the next few weeks when he gets to his bye. And he's probably the one at the top of the list that people are looking to get rid of. I know Harley Reid is another one that people are, well, he hasn't really made much money yet, but, and neither has Caleb Windsor, but both of them aren't really scoring like people thought they would. Harley Reid especially. Yeah, but, I mean, a lot of the rookies' break-evens are still fairly low. Blake Howes is another one that we should talk about. from Your Mob Clarkey. He only scored the 26 on the weekend, but I've done some maths, which is never good on the footy mailbag, but I tried it anyway.
You do all the maths, and I do all the vibes. That's how this works.
I've tried it anyway, and the last 2 weeks, the Adelaide Crows have given up an average of 86.6 points to defenders. So I think there's every chance that Blake Howes could get another 90 score or a score in that sort of realm that resets his cash gen, and maybe we even hold him through his bye in a couple of weeks if that happens.
Yeah, I think as he covered off, the slight change in how he had to approach the games probably didn't help last week specifically. Melbourne's structure without Stephen May was, that game was a nail biter, and the fact that we got through it was very rewarding for me as a Melbourne fan. But you could kind of see that without Stephen May running the show, everybody was a little bit all over the place. So if you decide to trade him, I understand, but I would probably recommend holding and seeing what he does this week.
And then we've got some rookies on the bubble as well. Sam Darcy, 123k forward. He's got a break even of minus 92. So he only needs to breathe near a football to make money on the weekend. Tom Brown is also on the bubble at Richmond at the slightly elevated price of 154k. And his teammate, Mikelty Lefau, is 102k forward. The SSP signing has had a couple of games where he scored in the 30s. You're not going to be a great moneymaker and probably not on top of people's lists. And Josh Draper in defense, 123k.
One of your boys.
He's also on the bubble, and people are considering moving a Zach Reed or a Nick Caulfield to him, which is a perfectly fine play. It's perfectly fine, but I don't think he's going to score all that terrifically. There are rookies named to debut or due to start playing this week. Patrick Parnell has already debuted for the Crows, but he's been named in their lineup. And Will Graham and Sam Closey have been named to debut for the Suns. So there's three potential defensive rookies that will be available for us in a few weeks.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to Will Graham. I think kid's got some really good raps on him. So hopefully he gets a really decent run at it. Like, that's what I want to see.
It really wouldn't surprise me if we are double downgrading in 2 weeks to Will Graham and Sam Closey. I think both of those guys could really be good money makers for us. But I do have the slight feeling that one of them will be the sub.
It's the scary sub vest.
Yeah, And just from what I saw in the preseason, I would wager that it's probably Sam Closey that will get the sub vest.
Yeah. Yeah, I can believe that.
So, Clarkey, we've got a lot of questions this week, so we should probably get straight into them. Just a reminder, when we talk about some players, we might give them a green, yellow, or a red rating. Green indicates a good pick. Yellow is a watch or a hold. Red is a trade or a void. These are our traffic light ratings, and a player could earn their rating for several reasons, including, but not limited to, scoring potential, job security, price point, reliability, or injury status. We will have a special gather round edition of our traffic lights going on our social media accounts on Thursday mornings. It's not that special. I've just put the Adelaide CBD in the background just to make it look fancy.
I was wondering where we were joining with the special.
I've just put the Adelaide CBD from about the mid-90s in the background and put Gather Round Edition in fancy text at the top of the graphic.
Sounds special to me.
So that's why it's the Gather Round Edition. It's not any different to anything that we have usually done for the traffic lights so far this season, but at the beginning I introduced you with an AI riff there, Clarkey, and we have a riff for listener questions.
Hit the sting.
Let's get to the question.
Okay, first question comes from Con on Facebook.
Con, welcome back. Thank you, regular.
Is Tuke Miller or Jack Steele?
Jack Steele.
Jack Steele. I think Took Miller or Jack Steele could both potentially be top midfielders this season. I think they both look back to their best.
You were
going to
say top 10, weren't you? But then you weren't convinced.
I'm not convinced by anyone yet, to be honest. There's only about three or four midfielders that I'm convinced by. And
I'd say top 20 easily.
It's not hard to get top 20 yeah. mid, to be honest.
Jack Steele's back, though, Damo, to your point.
He is, and there was a comment in the preseason that he looked like he'd slimmed down a bit, and I can actually see it. And I mean, he wasn't big, but... And
did you have this same discussion recently on the mailbag? I feel like I've heard this before, where you were trying to explain someone slimming big but not previously being large.
I don't think any player is large, though. I just think he is noticeably not large now.
Yeah. Took Miller, I could easily see having a great season, but Jack Steele is hard to look past. His, was it a 120-plus average over three games? He's the main man. Took Miller and, might have to share.
And I think with the Suns midfield, only one can come out on top out of Anderson, Miller, and Rao. And I think over the long term, it will probably be Rao.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Next question comes from Jeffrey Head on Twitter. He currently has Luke Jackson filling his ruck 2 spot with English as his ruck 1. And his midfield is Bont, Merritt, Took, Crouch, and Wines. With that list, who would you make your priority target? Tom Green or Max Gawn?
Tom Green
is
based on consistency, I think, for me. Yeah. Not that Gawn has a massive ceiling and a significantly higher one than Green, but really, how often is he going to be hitting 170s, 180s? It's probably less likely, and he's probably going to end up more in that 120 range. However, Tom Green has a role where he can consistently hit that mark. So in the end of the day, when you're talking total points, you're probably going to feel it more on the week when you get Green and you just have that consistent like captain option. You don't have to worry too much necessarily about the matchup. You know, he's going to get his like 30 disposals. He's at least what, 110 to 125, Damo, you probably say is the low end.
It wouldn't surprise me if Tom Green ends the year as the top midfielder for the season. So, yeah. I mean, Gawn could be the top ruckman for the season, but I think you're going to get more benefit from getting in Green now than you are from getting in Gawn now, especially with the bye coming up in round 6.
Yeah, and Luke Jackson is probably an issue that you can cover in the coming weeks anyway by jumping off when he's at his maximum price to a ruckman of your choosing, no different to any other upgrade, really, because he's still doing it, Damo. He's still doing it.
I mean, yeah, Tom Green is my choice as well. Thanks for the question, Jeffrey.
Thanks, Jeff.
Rodanks on Facebook, and I feel like you could answer this question, Clarky, because it sounds like you're doing a very similar move. If cash is available, do you chase a Sarong, Butters, or Gawn for a player that is still averaging around 100, example, Liberatore, who is not ever achieving their break-even?
Libba is a player who is in a basket for me with Jordan Dawson, Jaden Short. There's probably another one that I can't think of right now. You could probably at a stretch say a Nick Daicos even. Somebody who's kind of not hitting the strides that you expected them to. If you have the trade to do it, I would absolutely say jump off while you still have the value, like the equity in the player to spend to easily get Libba to a Sarong, a Butters, or a Gawn. I don't think there's any problem. It's not point chasing. You're chasing a little bit more consistency. Libba has not had a score over, he's only had one score over 100, and that was 115. He was subbed in this last game at 95, 97, somewhere in that range. And I get that it was against West Coast, but even when he's been playing a full game, he hasn't quite had those heights that he did last year. So don't look back and get in a Sarong, get in a Gorn, get in a Butters, get in a Tom Green, get in a, for full transparency, I have traded in Jack Steele over Liberatore because once again, the question of value to consistency in scoring, I like the role a lot better for Jack Steele. Just do it. Don't look back. Whatever. It's a made-up game. It doesn't matter. Use the trades to make your team feel good to you.
And I don't think you need to chase Sarong or a Butters or a... I don't think you need to chase anyone. But you bring up a good point about not necessarily having to get the top scorers. Jack Steele is scoring, averaging 120, and he is cheaper than Libba currently, I'm pretty sure. So that could actually give you more cash to do a different upgrade somewhere else. So, I mean, you can chase Sarong, Butters or Gorn being top scorers in their position, but there are other options. And we spoke about Tuukka Miller and Jack Steele earlier for another question. So those are other options that are available to you if you need to move on from someone like a Liberatore.
I probably just as a little like aside to this question, Damo, and I'd love to get your opinion on it. We hear the term point chasing a lot. What in your own terms would you consider to be point chasing? Is it something that we just use as almost like a, you know, something to thumb down somebody who wants to make a sideways trade because it makes them feel comfortable? Or at what point do we look at it and go, this is an unneeded move?
Don't get it twisted. We're point chasing throughout the whole season because we want to get the better scores in our team. When we upgrade a rookie, when we go one up, one down, when we upgrade from two rookies, we are point chasing.
Oh, because the high word.
Because we want the better score in total when we do those upgrades. In this situation, though, point chasing is when you have a player that scored 110, and another player has come out and scored 180. And so you trade that player that scored 110 for that player that scored 180, even though that 180 is gone now. You're never going to have that 180 in your team. That is point chasing in the term that people mostly know it as.
Yeah, so at what point would you say a listener should be concerned or check themselves that they are chasing the dragon? The point dragon in this game. Like, I'm kind of trying to understand when in our minds should we be going, okay, what's the question I should be asking about this? So my point being for Liberatore, when I look at it, it's not a matter of, oh, I want to trade in Jack Steele specifically because he scored 120 and Libba only scored 96. Is it making sure that you are asking yourself, I need the consistency. This is what's going to improve my team, and making sure that you're not looking at the players just based on the number that's next to their name?
I think it comes down to the overall look for your team, because if you have traded out a premium for another premium the last 3 weeks, that's probably point chasing. If you've traded out, obviously Young is a different story because he wasn't performing how we expected. But if you're trading a 110 averaging rookie for a 112 averaging premium, I said rookie, then that's probably point chasing. That's probably not going to improve your team. But because at the end of the day, we want our teams to be full premium. And these extra trades have kind of had people throw caution to the wind a bit. And you should be very careful that your trade actually improves your team and doesn't just give it a sugar hit over in the short term.
Yeah, bro. I hope that helps. And any other listeners who are worried that they may be jumping off too soon or anything like that, like Damo said, make sure that you're thinking in the long term and not just going, this person had a good week, so this is the option for me. Look at consistency.
Thanks for the question, Ro. Next question comes from Benji on Twitter. Or
thanks,
X.
Benji.
Should I be calling it X now? And it's still Twitter.
I refuse.
It's still Twitter. Who do I bring in this week with the plan to bring in the other next week? Flanders or Whitfield?
¿Por qué no los dos?
Okay, so I think you go Whitfield this week at 544K. And then next week you go for Flanders, who will probably be about the same price at that point.
Yeah, I think jumping on defender primos is more expensive, more important at the moment, while we're still waiting for the forward pack to emerge. Because I think we're all, outside of Isaac Keeney, I can't really think of a forward option that I'm like, absolutely, I need to have him right this second. Flanders is kind of halfway there, but I still have concerns.
And the forward line could be like that for the entire year. Clarky, you and I play NFL fantasy, and it's almost like jumping on a kicker. A kicker might have weeks where they score double digits, and then they might have a stretch where they only scored 1 or 2 points a game for the next, you know, two or three games. So I think the forward line might be like that for the whole year, and that's, so settling the rest of your team is probably more important at this stage.
Yeah.
Thanks for the question, Benji. Next question comes from Lee on Facebook.
Thanks, Lee.
Is Tom Brown a good trade-in for Josh Gibkiss? Job security thoughts, please.
I'm going to be honest and say I don't know enough about Richmond to say for sure. Tom Brown is a living, breathing, rookie-priced player. So that's good than somebody who is not playing.
All I can... Yeah, I mean, like you, Clarky, I don't really know the ins and outs of Richmond's team at the moment with a new coach. We don't know how Adam Uzay sees the best team at the moment. So we don't know who comes in and who goes out, who's in favour and who's not in favour. All I can repeat is what I've been reading about, and that is Dylan Grimes is due back, and people are predicting that Tom Brown could potentially be an unlucky casualty of Dylan Grimes being available again.
Classic Grimey.
So, is Tom Brown a good trade-in for Josh Gibkiss? Yes, but his job security is low. But I don't think Tom Brown will ever be out for good. I think if you get him, it'll just be a case of a slow burn on your bench, which you have to weigh up if you're willing to take that ride.
Yeah.
Good question, Lee, actually. Next comes from Jevs on X. I'm saying it now. That sounds good. It doesn't. Jevs on Twitter wants to know, Winhager to Bramble, yay or nay?
I feel like the Bramble boat has kind of sailed.
Nay.
But also Winhager.
My answer is nay.
Yeah, I'm going to go with nay, but also, like, if you did it, I'd probably be like, I get it. Why did you have Winhager in the first place?
I understand why people brought in Winhager. I understand that. It was a bit of a Tom Powell, but in defense kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Nay. Winhager to Bramble, yay or nay? Nay. The answer is nay.
Yeah, I'm going to go with nay for the mo.
Okay. Next question comes from Ray on Facebook.
Hey, Ray.
Is it better to go for one 650K Uber Primo or grab two 500K players that are performing well?
It depends on which Uber Primo and which 500K players.
Yeah, so it depends. So if those two 500K players are in defense and forward, yes. But if they're both in midfield, then you got to ask yourself, are they going to be a top mid player in their position? Will I have to trade one or both later down the track? What are the chances that they don't perform well for the entire season? So let's use James Warple as an example. He's a yellow on our traffic lights this week. He has started the season on fire. He's 533K, only one score below 100, which was in the 90s, so still going really well. He's probably taking the step that we expected Newcomb to take. But I think eventually when Will Day is available, there's going to be a switch in dynamic and he won't hold those scores for the rest of the season. So he's a 500K player that I would probably be a little more wary of bringing in, and I'd probably not go down that path. So I think you go for the 650K Uber Primo if you're confident that they will be a top line player in their position for the rest of the season, rather than two 500K players who you might eventually have to trade out once the dynamic in their teams or team changes.
If you told me Damo, the two 500K players were Andy McGrath and Matt Crouch versus, say, a Christian Petrarca. Let's use that as an example because he's the first player I can think of because I'm definitely not biased.
I'd go for Christian Petrarca.
Coward. Coward's answer. Bring in Andy McGrath and bring in Harry Mackay.
I'm sticking to my... You're better off going for someone who is going to be the top player in their... or one of the top players in their position than two players who you might have to trade out later because, in using your example, Clarkey, Andy McGrath might be affected by Jordan Ridley returning in a couple of weeks. And Matt Crouch... Well, I don't know what Matt Crouch is going to do because I don't know what Adelaide's going to do to fix how they're playing. So
they should, what they should do, though. Move Dawson to halfback.
That is a way that they could possibly fix how they're playing, yes.
And also get some forwards and give them the ball.
Yeah. I was texting our good friend Baron Von Crow after that game last week. And... I sat through this last season with the Dockers. It is not fun to have expectation on your team and then your team completely poop the bed in their first few weeks and look directionless. And it's never fun when your team is losing. It's a lot more fun when your team is winning, obviously. But I've got a soft spot for Adelaide because last gather round, I sat with Baron among Adelaide supporters at Adelaide Oval. And I fucking loved it. I fucking loved it. And then and then 2 nights later, I'm sitting among Port Adelaide supporters and I fucking hated it.
Yeah. You know what? Suck it, Port.
So I don't know. Like the fan bases are too clearly different. People, two clearly different sets of people, and I just enjoy the Adelaide fan base more just based on that experience.
Yeah, I'm hearing what you're hearing, what you're saying, Dame. I'm picking up what you're putting down. Port Adelaide, get a real mascot. He's just a guy with a lightning bolt head. What does it even mean? Was he the lightning guy? What does that have to do with Port Adelaide?
Power.
Go Crom. Go follow Baron as well. Actually, while we're doing that, go follow Baron. He's still alive.
He's not doing much Supercoach stuff this season, but he's still a good man. He's still a good follow.
Yeah, give him love.
Thanks for the question, Ray. I hope we answered that, even though we kind of veered off there a bit.
Was asking the same question. When are Port Adelaide going to get a real mascot?
Never, because no team has good mascots.
You take that. You put some respect on Ronald D, man. And Daisy? Who? Is Daisy the Melbourne mascot?
No, Daisy is a player that played for Melbourne.
There's a demonette is named after Daisy. That Daisy, I'm pretty sure. I'm going to Google this. Ask the next. Who's got the next question, Damo?
Mascots are weird. Next question comes from Dijon on Twitter. Ooh,
Mustard.
I love your mustard. Yep.
Yeah.
Is Fisher to Powell worse? Wow. What the fuck? Is Fisher to Powell worth the trade?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah. Cause Fisher's going one way and Powell's going the other and Fisher is not going in a good direction.
Yeah, correct. Do it. You know what, Dijon? I'm gonna give you a little bit of the secret sauce this week. That's right. I'm bringing it back. Harry Mackay's back, baby.
How do you see Mackay going up against the best defense in the league at the moment?
Not a problem. He'll crush him. He's going to be good forever.
Alex Pierce did not let any forward mark the ball against that last week. The Adelaide forwards could not.
You played get Adelaide, near... Baron. I love you, and I'm sorry to talk about your team this way, but it was Adelaide. They've got a lot of problems right now. Alex Pierce, good. Adelaide, bad.
Yeah, but Fisher to Powell, worth the trade? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, do it. Powell looks like he has that role locked down.
And then our next question, our last question of the week. Troy on Twitter. Hey, is Troy. It time to yeet Jordan Dawson?
Yes, before he loses any further value, and I think you'll find this week, a little sneak preview, listeners, he's a red on the traffic lights. So it's time to cash in about the value that's left, and feel free to jump back on him if it improves later in the season. There are still some really good options that you can jump to from Jordan Dawson.
Like, as we have advertised previously or prior to this question in the podcast,
Harry Mackay.
Tuukka Miller, Jack Steele.
Even Matt Crouch. I'd approve.
Yep, even Matt Crouch. All three options. I'd probably put Jack Steele at the top of that list, though.
Yeah, Jack Steele, Tuukka Miller, in that order. Harry Mackay, obviously.
Clarkey, it's time for captains.
Bless.
Play the captain's riff.
Captains and
all right, Clarkey, who is your vice captain this week?
Max Gawn.
Same.
Against Adelaide, Max, I just think he can do it. I think he can do it good. I'd probably say if we need to go other options, Lachie Neale maybe against North. I don't hate that. Lachie Neale's just quietly doing okay. I'd probably avoid the Port Essendon game. I feel like that's going to be a tougher one than we expect, especially in Adelaide. Isaac Heaney against West Coast?
Yeah, I mean, Isaac Heaney's my captain for this week only because of how my loops work out.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I mean, some people might have someone else in their R3 position to loop a different way. So Heaney is a very good vice-captaincy option as well. I don't think I would put any armband on anyone from the Fremantle or Carlton game because we don't know how that's going to pan out as good as that game is going to be. I want you
to say thank you as you can feel the self-control that I'm using right now.
Thank you, Clarkey. Western Bulldogs, Geelong, I think Bontempelli is always
is
a
he
good
ever
shout.
Not? Tim English. If you've got Tim English, this is the game.
Tim English is a good shout.
Because if Toby Conway and Reece Stanley, English will mow them, I think.
You mean, not Reece Stanley, Mark Blitzarves.
Oh, God. I can never keep up, Damo.
Yeah, Geelong have Ruckman and they just spin the bottle to choose who's in that team that week. You've got Tom Green against the Suns. Mm-hmm. As an option, and then I think Jack Steele against Richmond is also pretty good. Norwood's actually a very small oval, so Jack Steele could actually be a really, really good pick for captain this week.
Any love for Nick Dacos against Hawthorn?
I think Hawthorn will show him lots of love, yes.
Really, him?
We'll need to see if Finn McGuinness is called upon.
Yeah. It's going to be very funny when they... because did Hawthorn beat Collingwood last year? Is that a thing in round... Was that the last round?
In one of the last rounds, I think Hawthorn did beat Collingwood, yes.
Hawthorn, you have the opportunity to do something very funny this week. I'm trusting you.
Jack Ginnivan. Jack Ginnivan. Jack Jack against his former team.
Oh, yeah, Vendetta. Vendetta game.
Probably would have been good if this game was at the MCG, though. That would have been even better because that would have been basically Greek Colosseum style kind of, you know, death match. But, hey, look, I mean, hopefully the umpires know that his neck exists now. And I mean, boy who cried wolf too many times, but I still think the umpires need to protect their players.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. We went on a different sort of tangent at the end there, but hopefully we've given you some good options for captains. And that's it for the footy mailbag this week.
We did
Clarkie,
it.
Thank you again.
It's always a pleasure. Look at us co-hosting so cohesively. We'll be back after Gather Round.
If you haven't given us a rating on your listening platform of choice, please do so. It helps new listeners find us and the algorithms, etc. And make sure you check out Supercoach Rings, supercoachchampion.com for a Super Bowl style ring for your league winner. Make sure you check out Clarkie's podcast, The Falcon, if you want just general footy chat. And we'll talk next time.
See ya.